Of the Lord this morning, praise God. No place else to be this morning, praise the Lord, than in
Amen.
The Father's house.
Amen.
This is the Father's house.
Yes,
Amen.
It is.
The house of God, church of the living God, which is
yes.
the pillar and the ground of the truth.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. There is peace in the house,
yes.
joy in the house,
yes.
salvation in the house,
yes.
healing in the house.
Yes.
This is not the hog pen, glory to God. And we know the difference, praise the Lord. It's not in the house you don't need it. It's not in the house you don't want it, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this day for your goodness to us. We thank you for this assembly gathered here this morning. We pray that you'll open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of your word. Give us the spirit of wisdom and not of fear. Give us revelation, knowledge, and understanding of the word of faith and authority to believers that we may be able to operate the ministries that you've given us in Jesus' name, hallelujah. All right, we're in Acts. Chapter 22. Paul has given his testimony about how he got started in the right way. I believe we had just finished up on verse 16. So we'll start in verse 17. And it came to pass that when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance. And I saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Now when he got this vision, he was in the temple. And Jesus said, Get out of there. I'm sending you far away. But like we've been discussing here the last few weeks, Paul couldn't stay away from the temple. He couldn't stay out of the temple. For some reason, he couldn't stay out of the temple. Now, I don't understand why that all that was. We've discussed it and cussed it and discussed it. But he couldn't stay out of the temple. Some folks would have taken what Jesus said and gone with it and said, Well, the Lord told me to get out and never come back. That is not exactly what he said, but you could certainly understand that from that what he said. That you don't have any business here any longer. They're not going to hear you here. So don't waste no time with these people. Get up, get out of here. I got other work for you to do. A lot of folks would have. And I guess we're just going to have to wait until we get to heaven and we're going to have to ask Paul ourselves.
Why didn't you get out?
Paul, what in the world? Why couldn't you stay out of the temple? And I'm sure you'll have a good answer. But anyhow, Jesus said what he said, and Paul did what he did. And so we have to deal with that. Look at verse 22. And they gave him audience unto his word, then lifted up their voices and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, that must have been a spectacle. The chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, Take heed what you do, for this man is a Roman. And then the chief captain came and said unto him, Tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, Yea. And the chief captain answered, With a great sum obtained I this freedom. And Paul said, But I was freeborn. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him. And I guess they were just going to whip him until he said something. I guess that's the idea. And that's what torture is. You know, they just keep it up until you say something, anything, to make it stop. So, of course, that's sort of in the news these days.
Kind of interesting, Brother Monty. They were wanting to know what he had done to cause him to act that way.
Yeah.
But what he had done was right there.
That's right.
Said that, you know.
That's right. He was obvious to everybody.
Yeah. But he was speaking Hebrew, and they might not have known the Hebrew.
That's possible. That's possible. They didn't know that. That's possible.
I will send you far away to the Gentiles. Well, that set the Jews off, but maybe the Romans didn't hear. You know, didn't understand that.
Anyhow, Paul was about to get into a world of hurt, and his Roman citizenship saved him from that. Well, it was God that saved him from that, but he used his Roman citizenship to do it. So Paul played the Roman card, the citizen card.
Why do you think he just seemed to didn't care about controversy or coming up against a riot or, you know, like you and me and the others here, we would go the other way. Nobody would have to, I don't even think the Holy Spirit would have to tell us to go the other way. we would go the other way, but he seemed like, hey, come on, I'm ready for you. I want, you know. He didn't. He said, I've been shipwrecked, I've been this, and but none of this separated me from the love of God.
Yeah, that's right. He was
one
not.
One man said something about what you're talking about right there, and he said that the reason why he's like that is because he didn't fear death. Because he'd already seen heaven and knew where he was going.
Well, Paul certainly didn't fear death, that is for sure.
One time he did not fear death. They said he had actually died. And the saints gathered around him and prayed.
Yeah, that's right. He had died. He had died. So anyway, Paul is a complicated man. No question about it.
Amen.
We don't have too many Pauls.
Unfortunately, we're short of them. We're very short of them. Yeah. There's a lot of things I wanna ask him when I see him. I'm sure the conversation.
Like you said, he's gonna have some good answers.
He'll have some good answers. That's the truth.
What if he just tells you I was just disobedient?
Well, then that's a good answer. That's a good answer. But he's still here. He's in heaven, so praise God. He could say, "Well, you know, I just was doing my own thing." But
everything he got. Some souls, he got something accomplished sometimes. You know, mostly through everything he did.
It all worked. It all fell out to the furtherance of the gospel. Yeah.
Even, I mean.
It all fell out to the furtherance of the gospel, whatever he was doing.
Whatever he did, it all just worked out.
Yep, that's right.
Because, you know, the Holy Spirit asked me, do you know what he was praying when he was in jail? And I'm like, no, it didn't say. He was praying for souls.
Yep.
And that's what he got. I said, oh, okay.
It's awesome out there.
He was praising God and praying, singing song and praying for souls. Mm. He is a complicated man. We can't just.
No, and we, if there, and you know, there probably wouldn't even be a church today if it wasn't for Paul and
we
Paul's
have
vision.
All that New Testament.
No. Paul's
and he was
great vision.
When you know, I'm convinced if they hadn't put him in jail, he wouldn't have been able to just sit down and write half of the New Testament or one third of the New Testament.
Yeah.
Because he had been out there trying to.
That's true.
Do something, but
yeah, that's true.
In jail, he said, "I'm content in jail. It's where I am now, so I'm all right. I'm gonna do a lot of damage to the devil."
Yeah.
You know?
And it's still working.
Still working. Yeah, that's right. Praise the Lord. That was his greatest ministry. To the church.
Yes.
It was his greatest ministry.
Yes. He left us some really great things for us to promises.
That's right.
To help us through our walk.
That's right.
Through our destiny.
Yeah, that's absolutely right.
He left us something good.
On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty wherefore he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priests and all their council to appear and brought Paul down and set him before them. And Paul, earnestly beholding the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until this day." And the high priest Ananias commanded them that stood by him to smite him on the mouth. Then said Paul unto him, "God shall smite thee, thou whited wall, for sittest thou to judge me after the law, and commandest me to be smitten contrary to the law?" And they that stood by said, "Revilest thou God's high priest?" Then said Paul, "I wist not, brethren, or that I knew not that he was the high priest, for it is written, Thou shalt not speak evil of the ruler of thy people." Now, notice there's something missing here, and that's an apology. Paul did not apologize for what he said exactly. He said, "I wouldn't have said this if I had known that he was the high priest." But he didn't exactly take it back. It was absolutely true. What he said was absolutely true. Although he wouldn't have said it if he had known that he was the high priest, he did not say, "Well, I take it back. Please forgive me." He didn't say that. And one wonders why Paul would not have known who this guy was.
That's what I was going to say.
Why wouldn't he have known? If he was dressed in his high priestly garments, he certainly would have known if he could have seen him well enough. Now, some people say, well, you know, Paul had eye trouble. And this is some proof that he had eye trouble because he couldn't recognize the high priest. I don't know about that. But anyhow, there are some people who, you know, that Paul's thorn in the flesh thing. A lot of people say, well, it was some kind of eye problem that he... But if he couldn't see that well, if he couldn't see well enough to know who that guy was, he was really... He was blind as me. Or worse. And it's hard for me to imagine that Paul could have done a whole lot. He didn't have glasses, you know. So if Paul's eyesight was as bad as mine, it would have been hard for him to get around and do everything he did. He'd have to have somebody lead him by the hand.
I believe, like,
it's hard to do all that writing too.
Well, I do all that writing.
I'm nearsighted. I can write pretty good, but I can't.
Mine can read without your glasses.
I don't know. But anyhow. So I don't know, but I thought, you know, a lot of people say, well, this is some evidence that he had eye trouble because he couldn't recognize the high priest. I don't know. I assume the high priest must not have been clothed in his official garments at the time. Must not have been, or else Paul certainly would have recognized who he was. Yeah, I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense to me, really, that he was. But in those days, too, of course, they didn't, you know, they changed high priests every year. So, if you didn't keep up with current events, you wouldn't have known who it was that year. You might not have ever seen him before. So, you know, it wasn't Caiaphas. It was this guy, this other guy. And so, in Bible times, of course, in Old Testament times, the high priest served till he died. He was in there for life. But, of course, during the Roman occupation, they changed him every year, which was contrary to the law. But anyway. But for some reason, Paul didn't recognize the man, and he cursed him. And he cursed him. And he did not take back the curse. It says, God shall smite you, you whited wall. He didn't take that back. Didn't take it back. He just said, I didn't realize who I was talking to, but... But the curse was still out there. So anyhow.
Because he's the same man that teach us to respect those end darts.
I know. That's right. That is true. That's absolutely right.
So.
But when Paul perceived that the one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, Men and brethren, I am a Pharisee, and the son of a Pharisee of the hope and resurrection of the dead, I am called in question. And when he so said, there arose a dissension between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the multitude was divided. For the Sadducees say that there is no resurrection, neither angel nor spirit, but the Pharisees confess both. Those Sadducees were some strange dudes, man. I'm telling you, they were strange dudes. I don't know what kind of Bible they were reading.
But they actually believed that.
They did believe that. Now, according to history, the Sadducees were really in charge. They were the wealthier class. And they were in charge of the temple, by and large. So, a lot of things that the Sadducees believed and said was that the things in the temple were done according to the Sadducean rule. But there was great division between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. And Paul was aware of that, of course, and so he said, well, you know, divide and conquer. I'm going to split this crowd. I'm going to stir up some real controversy here, and they'll forget all about me. He pulled a Donald Trump. I'll just stir up controversy and they'll forget all about me. I shouldn't have said that.
No politics.
No politics here.
Hey, no revolution. revelation.
No, no revelation, no politics. But I confess both. All right, so anyway, anyhow, so what happened was, it says there arose a great cry. And this, of course, Paul knew that it would happen. And the scribes that were of the Pharisees' part arose and strove, saying, "We find no evil in this man." A little bit ago, they were said, you know, they were crying, "This man is not fit to live." Now they say, "Well, you know, since he believes like we do, since he's a Pharisee, or he used to be a Pharisee, he's a great guy. We find no evil in this man, but if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God." Well, that's good advice. That's real good advice. And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and bring him into the castle. Now, here's an interesting scripture right here. Here's an interesting verse. Brother Ray, this is for you. The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." So here we see Jesus was not angry at Paul for going to the temple. He has a vision, and Jesus said, "Cheer up, don't be discouraged. As you have testified of me here, you will bear witness in Rome." So Jesus was still on good terms with the Lord. So apparently the Lord was not unhappy with him for going to the temple, even when, you know, the Spirit and through various prophets had told him not to go, and he went. Jesus was not unhappy with him. There it is. Jesus was not unhappy with it. He had a vision, and Jesus said, "Be of good cheer, Paul." Called him by name. "For as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, you must bear witness at Rome." So that was a good word he got. He got a real good word. If he'd thought, you know, he might have thought, "Well, I shouldn't have come here. The Lord told me not to come here, and this is what I get." You know. And he might have thought, "Well, you know, maybe the Lord is angry with me for coming here." Mm-hmm. But when Jesus spoke to him in the vision like that, he realized, obviously, the Lord wasn't angry with him. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yes.
Does that necessarily say the Lord was condoning what he
did? A little louder, Muffin.
Does that necessarily say the Lord was condoning what he did? Already? Didn't he say in one place that he said... Didn't he say I must go to Rome?
We'll have to talk about that. I'm not sure about it. But anyway, I gather from this, if Jesus appears to you in a vision and he says, "Be of good cheer," that's a good word. He's telling you he's not angry with you.
Cheer up.
Cheer up.
And it sounded like Paul was
it's all good.
Kind of down a little bit in Jesus.
Could he be saying, let the past be past, let's go from here, and this is what I want you to do?
I don't think he was saying that, though.
I don't get that out of this, but now, you know, I mean...
Let the past be the past. He told him to cheer up.
Be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer,
well,
you know.
Don't be discouraged.
Not be discouraged.
Don't be discouraged.
He tells us all the time to not be discouraged.
But if you had been disobedient and the Lord was, I mean,
kind of like when Jesus was raised from the dead, the very first thing he said was, "Tell Peter I love him."
I suppose so. Anyway, this is a good word for Paul, and it tells us as well as Paul that Jesus was not angry with him.
You know, I couldn't have been angry with him either because the way he stood up in all those great men for Jesus.
He really got an opportunity.
He stood up.
This is probably the greatest opportunity he ever had to get his message out to a great crowd of people, both Pharisee and Sadducee. Probably never
alone.
Had a better opportunity.
He didn't have
That's
fellas
right.
with him. He didn't
That's
have,
right.
He did this alone.
That's right.
Single
he did
man.
This alone, and he did this, you know... there was a huge crowd there, And obviously, this is something that would not have been forgotten. This riot that broke out between the Pharisees and the Sadducees over Paul, where they would have pulled him to pieces.
They talked about that for
a long time. That's right. They're probably still talking about it. That's right.
So I would have been proud of Paul, too, just like Jesus was proud of Stephen, standing alone by himself with all those people.
That's a good point,
Mary. When he had an opportunity to run, he stood there and continued to tell them about Jesus.
That's a really good point.
Yeah.
Paul did
Jesus
good.
Stood up. Jesus said,
He did good in the temple. There's no question about it. He made a great defense in the temple.
And I believe it gave an impression on somebody. A man would stand up like that, like Stephen gave Paul, Saul at the time, an impression on him. This man would stand up.
That's true.
What he believed like this is something to it.
Yeah, that's right. Absolutely.
And I believe he won some souls. Didn't say that.
No, I don't say that, but.
But I believe he planted some seed.
He sure planted some good seed. That's the truth. He planted some good seed. No question about that.
Well, I can see this has caused a great dissension here. And before we start taking off our clothes and throwing dust, we don't listen to what you're
saying. Well, I cannot imagine God being angry with Paul for that. I cannot, whenever you're trying to please the Lord and you're going after God and you're working for God, He's happy with you. And, we all make mistakes, do something. Maybe we should have gone this way, we go that way. Mm-hmm. But, we're feeling after the Lord, and we're striving, Amen. And we're going. Amen. And Paul, I think God was pleased with him. I think he felt like he had to go to Rome.
To Jerusalem?
I think he had to go there. I think he felt like he had to do what he was doing. That make any sense?
I don't know why he would have felt that because all of the prophets said don't go, and I don't know why Paul would have thought I have to go.
How many times you've been told to do something, but you really wanted to do it anyway?
Well, if
the Lord. Sometimes we might feel different than.
If I hear about 50-11 messages and interpretation of tongues, and it calls me by name, and then every one of them say with one accord, "Do not go to."
And tie me up.
Do not. Yeah, that's right. Don't go to Jasper. I ain't going to Jasper. I just ain't doing. I ain't gonna do it.
Yeah, but if he was listening to the Spirit?
His spirit.
Men will tell you, don't do this or don't do that, but he had to follow the Spirit.
You're telling me that all of those prophets were false prophets?
No.
They told them what was going to happen. Did they say?
That's true.
And things happened just like they told them.
And it happened exactly like they said it was going
to
happen.
Paul said, I'm ready to die. No,
I mean, right to the very detail, it happened exactly like this.
He probably was happy. He probably was wanting to go on to heaven anyway. So he didn't care what happened to him. He's ready to go.
I think you're right that he did not care. He did not care.
Well, he said to die is gain.
He said, he told him, that was his answer.
He said, I'm struggling between two things here.
Yeah.
I'm wanting to go,
but
it's more needful for me to stay here.
I know it. This is something that we can debate for a long time about what Paul did and why he did it. And again, I go back to this. We're just going to have to ask him when we get there. Paul, what in the world were you thinking? I mean,
when I see this crowd around Paul and we're discussing this, I'm going to say, Paul, they all pressed our people.
Paul will probably say to me, well, why did you do such and such when you did it?
I have something to bring up.
You do.
I've got a story I can tell
about. Nowhere near.
Come back.
I'll have to talk him about it.
Yeah, we better hash that one out. All right, praise the Lord. And I think I'm done. Praise the Lord. All right.
enjoy it, Paul.
Yeah.